If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
How many cups of coffee do you think you can have in a day and still be considered healthy? You can text your guesses to 92925. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Good morning. Okay, what do you guys think is that number that you can have this many cups of coffee per day before it's considered unhealthy?
I have about one, so I'm going to hope and say one.
One coffee?
Yeah,
one. Oh my God, there'd be a lot of unhealthy people walking around then.
No, okay then.
Because a lot of people have more than one cup of coffee a day.
I don't know. I would go, I mean, if we're talking like just like small little cups of coffee, maybe like four or five.
Four or five cups? What do you mean small cups of coffee?
Like regular, like, I mean, we're not talking like extra large Tim Hortons.
No, know? We're talking about like a mug of a cup, okay. One cup, like a measured cup.
Standard mug.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Okay,
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go four or five.
Four or five. All right. So as we know, coffee is a central nervous system stimulant, which is why it helps us stay awake. And in some cases, it gives us a temporary high. And that is me right there, honestly.
Off the walls.
I am. It's very addictive. And like other drugs, if you have too much, it can actually lead to a caffeine overdose. That is a thing. So how many cups can you have in a day before it's considered unhealthy? The answer, Sam, you were the closest, is actually six.
Whoa.
Six cups of coffee was a tipping point where caffeine actually started to negatively affect cardiovascular risk. So everybody who had more than six cups a day had an increased risk of heart disease by 22%, actually.
I would imagine that the heart starts beating irregularly after, like, at that point. I mean, after a second or third cup, I start convulsing. I start, like, literally just twitching uncontrollably. The caffeine just shoots right
through. We had a
me.
Contest one day, remember, on National Coffee Day to see who could drink the most coffee.
Yeah,
well, oh, Sam won.
Yeah, but we all wimped out after like three or four cups. We were
on edge. Yeah. I didn't sleep for 4 days after that.
It was also all consumed within 2 hours before 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh, so.
Your poor bladder system.
But we all know that person who is just drinking coffee all day long.
Oh, I know. It's in their blood.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who was drinking upwards of 50 to 20 cups a day. Oh. Just like total coffee addict. Didn't understand why he had sleep problems, and now he's weaning off the coffee and he's still having trouble sleeping, but the theory is that it's taking him a while to get it out of his system. Like, even after he stopped drinking coffee or lowered the amount, it's still in his system.
Well, he's going through withdrawal.
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
I mean, even when I did drink coffee, I'd have some bad days, like we all do, mm-hmm. where I would have multiple cups of coffee, and honestly, on those days, I was on the treadmill. Like, I could run like you have never seen anybody run, and I don't drink coffee anymore. More, but for the most part, I just had one cup of coffee a day. And even quitting one cup of coffee a day, I had a pounding headache for 11 days straight.
Yeah, I'm like that on the weekends, because I get my coffee really early in the morning. So when I wake up on the weekends and maybe we're just putting around the house, we're not doing anything. And then, you know, 12, 1 o'clock comes around and my wife's like, you want to go get a coffee? I'm like, yes, I've been wanting to get a coffee. It's 9 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, why don't you just make coffee at home?
But because it tastes so much better when we buy it.
Oh my God, I would not be able to go through those hours. Like, my whole Saturday mornings would be ruined if I was still addicted to coffee and couldn't have it.
Yeah, the headaches are real.
Yeah. Wow, you're getting a coffee maker for Christmas this year.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, so he was super popular on TV back in the day, and now he's going viral for a 30-second YouTube video during which he drops a lot of expletives, actually. And
uncharacteristically.
He's angry, and he should be. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. 6 degrees right now, and just a chance of some showers later on today. Okay, so who am I talking about?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Everybody knows Bill, right?
Such a good theme song.
I didn't realize how cool a theme song was.
Oh, you don't?
No,
you
I forgot. Remember? I'd forgotten it.
We so need a good theme song this good.
You can't redo that.
No,
honestly.
We can't. You're right.
That is just classic. All right, so Bill Nye is speaking out about the world's lack of progress on climate change. And he basically explained climate change and really expressed his feelings surrounding it as well in a 30-second YouTube video that has since gone viral. Listen to this.
Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the fuck up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off,
Wow. He's really so on point there because I felt like he was speaking to me. You know, when he's like, yeah. I didn't mind explaining it to you when you were 12 years old, but you're an adult now. Get it together.
Yeah, so I will talk to you like an adult.
He went gangster there. I mean, I think he's right. I think, you know, we see it's climate change isn't like about, you know, it's more than just temperatures. It's the storms that we're seeing, the amount of hurricanes, right? The hot summers that we've had the last couple of years, it's very uncharacteristic. The tough part is he's right about, you know, it's not free. But the problem is people live paycheck to paycheck more and more and more. And the things that we can do, like going solar is so expensive, or electric cars are so expensive. It's so hard, but it's the little changes that you can do. It's not necessarily the big changes.
You know who doesn't live paycheck to paycheck? The government, who should be the people spending money on these things that we need to fight climate change. I mean, some people do call him a fake scientist, but I think he really broke it down in a way that was really easy for like the average person to understand.
What you get from this video is the sense of frustration that the scientific community is facing every single day, because these are the guys that are doing all the stats, and these are the guys that are doing the research and see the numbers that the government may be turning a blind eye to. And when no one's listening, you have to resort to
F-bombs.
Semantics and F-bombs and whatever gets people's attention.
Well, he's a fake scientist that a lot of real scientists would agree with, though. I mean, he's kind of a famous scientist, right? But he's speaking for the scientific community because he's one of the most famous fake or real scientists there ever have been.
Well, and the more the average person cares, the more they're going to put pressure on the government, the more they're going to vote people in power who do care about climate change. So I do think that it can be really helpful. We'll put this up for you at the Beat 92.5 on Facebook so you can check it out. I had a few
with
friends,
or without the F-bombs?
With the F-bombs.
Okay.
We can't get them out of the video. We can't. So don't watch with any children, okay? Unless they know exactly what that word means and that it's not safe for them to use, okay? Mm-hmm.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
The bride was a little bit turned off when a guest showed up to her wedding with 10 Tupperware containers. Really curious to know what you think about this. So this bride was asked by her dad's friend, first of all, if he could bring his daughter and her husband to their small wedding.
Okay.
So right away, that can be a little off-putting, especially if you're having a very small wedding and suddenly there are two extra people on the list. She agreed, and then she realized on the day of her wedding that the guest brought 7 containers to take home food and 3 containers for dessert, plus she swiped a few of the floral centerpieces before she left as well. So she wrote about this on a really popular Facebook group. It's called That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming, that people can go through like their issues with weddings.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody had an opinion on this. And I mean, you could go one way and say, well, there's plenty of food. Like, why not? You know, why wouldn't you want to give guests some food to take home? And on the other side, like maybe showing up to a wedding with 10 Tupperware containers in tow is a little much.
Yeah, it's not an all-you-can-eat buffet.
True.
It's a wedding. So, and it sounds like it was a small wedding, so there's probably a certain level of decorum that's expected from their guests. You know, a little bit of class.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're coming with a bunch of Tupperware containers, you're preparing, you're planning on taking food home. It's just not a good look, especially when you weren't originally invited in the first place. So you don't, how well do you really know the bride and groom?
It's a good point.
You're there for the food, not them.
Sam, have you ever done this before?
I've thought about it. I haven't gone to the lengths of actually bringing Tupperware, and maybe 7 to 10 Tupperwares is on the higher end.
So what,
maybe
like 2 is okay.
Yeah.
Really?
I really wouldn't think twice. I mean, look, we all know how much food goes to waste at these weddings, especially the dessert tables when everyone's already full. You know, just be prepared to be mocked or, you know, made fun of or teased for doing so. But you know who's going to be laughing the next day when you've got the most delicious leftovers and people are still scrounging around for their breakfast?
Everyone's going to still be laughing at you for bringing the Tupperware, I'd say.
Yeah. People are going to be talking about you, making fun of you.
I think. You know, I get it. At the end of the wedding, if there is a lot of food left and you've already paid for it, like, why not give it to people? But I think, like, showing up as if that's your point for being there is way too much.
You have to be discreet about it. You're not going to leave your Tupperware on the table during the table during the meal and ask people, are you done with that? Or, you know, is everyone going to finish their plates? But there is a way to do it subtly. But at the same time, you're there and the food's going to go in the trash, so why not? I mean, it makes for delicious leftovers.
The last time we were at a wedding, Sam took home 2 jars of, like, homemade hot sauce that was on every table.
Okay, I was offered them.
You did.
I love
still
the hot sauce
it?
So much. I asked the caterer, I was like, how can I get this? And he goes, oh, I'll just give you a couple. I go, okay, great. So I left the party with 2 containers of harissa hot sauce.
All right.
And
here's,
I was made fun of.
Here's a question. You weren't made fun of. I mean, we just pointed it out.
No, you just publicly shamed me. That's okay.
We talk about everything here. You know this. More family. Okay, here's a question because it's kind of similar, and I had this conversation with a friend the other day. Someone comes over to your home, brings a bottle of wine, and then at the end of the night, if the wine hasn't been opened, they ask to take the wine back home.
No.
No?
No.
Does that, you're going to judge them?
Yeah, because you're not bringing the wine. You're bringing the wine as a gift for hosting the party, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not. So if you take it home, then what are you bringing to the party? You didn't bring anything, essentially. right? You didn't bring a gift at all if you take it home with you.
Yeah.
The wine is for the host to use, whether it be at the party or later on, perhaps.
True, true. I think that's what a lot of people think.
Nah, I take the wine home.
You take the wine home.
If it's a good bottle of wine, yeah, I bring it because I want to share it with the friends. And if they don't open it, then I'll just save it for another time.
Okay, so on the flip side of things, if I bring a bottle of wine to your house and then I take it out of your fridge at the end of the night because we haven't consumed it.
That's fine.
You're good with that?
As long as we open up another bottle or two that you brought. Like, if it's the only thing that you brought and we didn't get to it, I would expect you to leave it. But if you brought like two or three bottles and we already had one or two, then yeah, take the third one home.
Okay. Can I be? I'll be completely honest about this, and I don't even want to be. But when people come over, if they bring bottles, I'm always like, take them, like take it back home. Like I say it before they leave, like here, take this back. I do, and I mean it until they actually take them, and then I'm like, oh well, that was kind of rude.
You actually did.
True. I can't be the only one.
No, you're not the only one.
That's a trap.
I still love them, but it's just it's where my brain goes.
You're just being a nice person.
They took that bottle. We're getting a lot of texts at 19925. This one says, "Good morning, guys. First in taking back a bottle of wine. It's the same." Is taking back the flowers you'd bring to the hostess of the party. But to get to the wedding question, no, I don't think you bring Tupperware. If there is to be extra food, the couple tends to provide those white styrofoam takeaway plates for the guests, or at least that's what I've done and everyone I know has done so far.
Is that a gamble that you're willing to take, though?
It should be as a guest.
We got this text from Linda. No, Sam, now I have to disagree with you. The leftovers for the bride and groom's family to do what they see fit, not the guests, which is true. And these people weren't even invited guests, really.
Yeah.
They were secondarily invited.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Of all the things that the parents have to worry about, they're going to be worried about like who, like where the food's going at the end of the night. Like, I don't think so.
I don't think it's a worry
Let
as much.
Let the guests take care of that.
Oh,
it's one less thing that the bride and groom's family have to worry about at the end of the night.
Karina, what do you think about this?
I think it's horrible. And if somebody did that at my wedding, I would have I don't even know what I would have done.
Do you have any like family members who do this kind of thing though?
Yes, my grandmother and her sister, they do.
Oh, but they're old ladies. They don't know any better.
Do is they bring in because their husbands don't go to the event, so they wrap up. My grandmother will take a plate, she'll pile it on like a mountain of food, and then table, she's like wrapping it in napkins and Kleenex and trying to shove and then we just like walk away. We're like, we don't know you, bye.
Stop it. Oh my god. Thank you so much, Karina.
Bye.
This one's horrible. It says, at my father's funeral, someone that my brothers and I did not know left with plates of sandwiches and salads.
Oh.
Come on.
Yeah, the random guy that shouldn't have even been there in the first place, that's another story.
I will say that my dad, who works at funeral homes, he has taken home food from funerals because the families, they just left it, and so he's brought it home. It feels awkward to eat, but it does taste good.
Well, I mean, if it's about to go in the garbage, I understand. Yeah. This is a really good point, though. I work as an event coordinator, and oftentimes the food gets packed up for the bride and the groom to take home for their out-of-town guests the following day. Otherwise, food gets donated to a shelter, so people shouldn't assume that the food is just theirs for the taking.
There you go.
Shouldn't assume it's up for grabs.
I get that, and I don't know what it is, but when I see food that's being left unattended that I think is going to go to waste, something in me is like, no, I have to rescue it. I have to salve it. It's something like,
for the people.
Maybe it's an issue that I have, but there's something about it, like a buffet. I can't look at food just sitting there.
It's an issue.
It needs a home.
I'm going to leave you with this text. This text at 92925. My Italian grandmother took home a huge chunk of Parmesan cheese at my wedding.
She goes for the gold.
Okay.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Okay, so health experts say you should not feel bad about pigging out once in a while. And Andy, I know you're excited about this one.
Well, put it this way. I don't feel that bad about it. This just reaffirms my feelings.
Yeah, they did some new research. They said, you know, if you normally have a healthy diet and you get plenty of physical activity, you shouldn't feel too bad about occasionally overeating. And they said your body can adapt. And from a health perspective, short-term overeating is really best confined to infrequent special occasions, like once in a while during festivals and holidays. Mm-hmm. But during those times, you really shouldn't feel bad about it. You don't have to go years and years and years and years of eating perfectly.
Yeah, my body's been adapting for 36 years.
I thought this was funny. And we were actually chatting yesterday about how often you think you have, you know, I actually don't like the term cheat meal. I don't like that. It just has, it should be like reward meal. Because when you say cheat, it's sort of insinuating that everything else that you do is no fun. You know, I think if you choose to eat healthy and you choose to live a healthy lifestyle, you shouldn't look at it as like a strict thing. You should do it because it feels right. What?
It's my reward meal.
Yeah, yeah.
I deserve to reward myself.
I don't know. I just don't like the idea of cheating. And it makes you feel bad, too.
That's
if you are going to have that meal, well and you want to enjoy it, you shouldn't have to feel like it's cheating, basically.
And a lot of times when you're eating food that you know is bad for you, if you're telling yourself how bad it is for you, that actually makes it worse for you.
Mm.
So when you are having a cheat or reward meal, tell yourself that it's the healthiest thing in the world and you'll actually absorb the nutrients differently. That's fact.
That's scientific.
That's
fact.
Science.
Right. What do you think is the most popular cheat meal? We're taking your guesses and loving them at 92925. Okay. So first, let's play a guessing game. Which day of the week do you think is the most popular for cheat meals?
It's got to be tossed up between Saturday and Sunday. I go Sunday. For us, it's probably Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like a Saturday morning or something like to cure the hangover.
Okay. Andy was actually right. It is Sunday. That surprised me, though. I would have thought Friday or Saturday, because Sunday, don't you want to start feeling good for the week, like start getting your
because you know what? We're home all day Sunday, so we kind of make a bigger meal Sunday night, and that's where I think it comes from. Yeah.
It also helps to take your mind off Monday, too, right?
Yeah. Food coma, yeah.
All right, Sunday, the most popular day for a cheat or reward meal. Mm-hmm. And what is the most popular reward or cheat meal? Take and text at 92925. This one says, anything you're not allowed to eat is the best cheat meal.
Okay, sure.
But if I had to choose, bacon cheeseburger, extra cheese, extra bacon with a poutine on the side, and then cheesecake.
Okay, now you're just getting greedy.
That
Come
hurts
on.
Just thinking about it.
Wow, slow it down. That's like a week's worth of meals. I love this text from Kyle. Anything with tomato sauce is a cheat meal. Pizza, pasta, anything. I kind of agree. I love pizza would be my go-to.
It's like a healthy reward meal. This guy says fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Oh my God. Is there anything better?
Yeah. Do you make fried chicken at home sometimes?
No, that's why it's a cheat meal, because when you go out and get it, you know it's not something that you can make yourself.
All right.
True.
These are the top five cheat meals that people choose, okay? When they make that little splurge.
Salivating already.
In at number five, cheese.
Just cheese.
Yeah.
Just cheese.
Any type of cheese. I mean, there's nothing better than a good charcuterie board.
I suppose.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, cheese is good. If you can you can digest
it. Like not melted on bread with bacon or
something. Well, just the curds.
Okay. Maybe with some bacon. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Hey, I'm just reading the list here.
Okay, all right.
In at number four, pasta. Sam, you said you don't consider pasta a cheat meal, though.
Not if you're Italian, no.
Yeah.
It's a staple.
It's a food group.
It's a food group.
I guess it depends on how well you can handle carbs.
Yeah,
some people can do it fine, and it's not the most unhealthy thing if you can.
And they have like fancy pasta. Nowadays, quinoa pasta, you know, it's a healthy
gluten-free pasta.
Yeah. It's just there seems to be like never-ending room for pasta in the stomach. Like, there's no breaks on
there's
it.
There's an actual pocket just for pasta.
Yeah.
Carbs will do that to you.
Okay, in at number three, ice cream.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's not exactly
course.
A meal, but it's a cheat treat.
It's a treat, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
a cheat treat. Mm-hmm. In at number two, French fries, and I'm sure poutine would count there too, as well.
Totally.
I'd say that's probably like one of the most popular things people in Montreal get after the bar when they're stumbling out at 3 a.m.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm. Okay, and the most popular cheat meal is, and people were able to guess this for the most part on our text line as well at 92925, it's pizza.
Gotta be.
Of course.
There you go.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Bada bing.
Everybody loves their pizza.
Oh, so good.
What about spaghetti pizza?
Oh, from Domino's?
They're testing that out in New Zealand right now.
They are. It's going to happen. It's going to come here.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.